Agenda item 11, legislative, 2019 legislative review. This is a briefing. Nate, Raquel, and Morgan. Doesn't look like there's a Morgan.
So, Nate, just so you know.
Here, here, and here.
What's that?
Here, here, and here. I can
here,
come
here,
back.
Here. No
11,
problem. We got
12,
it.
13.
Perfect.
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, Director Suswin, my name is Nate Pamplin. I'm the Policy Director with the Department and joined this afternoon with Raquel Crozier, who's our Legislative Director, and Morgan Stinson, who's our Budget Division Manager. We have three agenda items for you this afternoon, beginning with a review of the 2019 legislative session and then two agenda items looking at our agency request legislation and our operating and capital budget proposals for the 2020 session. But before we begin, you know, we were, I think, incredibly prepared for the 2019 session. And really that was initiated with the 2017 operating budget proviso that required us to do the performance review, develop a long-term funding plan, and conduct a zero-based budget analysis. We established a budget and policy advisory group that helped us with all of those products, and a number of them kind of went above and beyond the work that we asked of them in the advisory group role and served as almost a coalition of support, and were very active during the legislative session. We've had a series of commission workshops a year and a half prior to the 2019 session to make sure that you all were well grounded in our budget and helped us develop the different products that we owed the legislature. And so here we are back again. We haven't even finalized our control totals for this coming biennium budget. We're already starting to work on the supplemental, and we've been at this for a couple months now. And so I think that your all's engagement here at this meeting will really help us prepare for what are the final proposals that we'll bring to you in August that will then work really hard to try to secure January through March of next year. So with that, I'll turn it over to Raquel, and we'll dive into this first agenda item.
Perfect. Thank you, Nate. Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm Raquel. I'm your Legislative Director. So we're going to talk through some of the outcomes of the 2019 legislative session. We'll go through a little bit of after action, and then I'll turn it over to Morgan to talk about some of the budget pieces. So as Nate mentioned, the 2019 legislative session was a tough one, wrapped up April 28th. It was a bit of a mixed bag for our agency. On the one hand, we had some of the biggest investments of general fund that we've ever seen. We had a huge commitment on ORCA recovery and had some pretty big policy milestones that came through this year. The disappointment is really that we didn't get our agency request bills through. We had three top priorities last year. The fee bill was the big one. We were dealing with a structural deficit. We heard from legislators that it wasn't the percentage. It wasn't the bill itself. There was a lot of actually good support around that 15% lift and the principles of treating the hunters and fishers fairly. And they really loved the recruitment focus of that bill. So I think we did our homework. We wrote the bill right. It did come down to some pretty tough other policy issues during legislative session. Early on, it got connected to the gillnet ban bill. So there was a lot of conversations around that. A lot of connection also to the Columbia River policy discussions. We came back after that big commission decision and had some tough conversations with legislators trying to get them up to speed on that policy, what some of the goals were, where we were at in implementing it, and their emails really did get kind of blown up over that issue throughout the legislative session. We also had really tough North of Falcon outcomes that played a big part in whether it was the right time for a fee increase, especially on the fishing side. So that one didn't go through. It would have brought in $17 million, which would have really helped with the kind of long-term structural deficit issue. The ADA bill, which dealt with our discounts, would have expanded our disabled discounts to anyone with a permanent disability did not go through. The big thing on that one was that it had a fiscal impact of about $500,000 for the biennium. We did such a good job educating legislators on our structural deficit in the state wildlife account that they said, seems like if the fee bill doesn't go, this is really not fiscally a responsible decision for us to make this year to go ahead and expand discounts. We also worked with Senator Warnick on a standalone Columbia River Salmon and Steelhead endorsement bill, would have extended the endorsement 4 years. That bill was in play until really the 11th hour, 11:45 on the last day of session. We were working our butt off to get that extension through, and it just ran out of time. It was a really tough one, also connected in a big way to the Columbia River policy, and we're definitely going to be having some conversations with some of the rec groups about whether or how to extend that, reauthorize it, get money for those important pieces of work in the coming year. We had, turning to the positive, we had some really great commitments from the legislature on orca recovery. There were four bills that passed, 1578 on oil transport, 1579 on Chinook abundance, 5577 on vessels, and 5917 on whale watching and whale wise guidelines. The two that we were the most involved in were the Chinook abundance bill and the vessel regulation bill. Couple of highlights. The Chinook abundance bill included our HPA civil compliance authority expansion, and this is something we've been working on for almost 20 years now, so huge milestone for us. It included some additional protections for forage fish, which we're really excited about, and you guys will probably play a big part in some of that because they gave the commission some authority to go ahead and look at liberalizing bag limits for certain predatory game fish. The vessel regulations increased distances away from whales and the speed that boaters can drive around whales. And so we're going to hopefully see them communicating better, people being more respectful on the water, and they'll be able to locate their food, which is great. We had a bunch of wolf bills this year, everything from moving wolves onto Bainbridge Island to reintroducing them into the Olympic Peninsula. All of those conversations initiated some really good positive dialogues with legislators on both sides of the aisle and with groups like Conservation Northwest, the Cattlemen, and the Farm Bureau that really turned into this bill, House Bill 2097, which initiates periodic status review and provides us some additional funding for staffing in Northeast, which is ground zero, as you all know, and makes a commitment to some of the non-lethals for the long term, both for us and for Department of Agriculture. We also had a couple of cougar bills, one of which moved forward. I know you guys heard a little bit about this morning. It directs us to establish a training program for non-lethal pursuit of black bears, cougars, and bobcats. Our enforcement program and our wildlife division worked really hard on this pre-session with Conservation Northwest, Hunter's Heritage, and some of our key houndsmen. It's really going to make sure that we've got fit animals that are ready to be deployed when we've got public safety concerns. We're really excited about it. Some other legislation that moved worth noting, I'm calling Senator Wilson's bill Pink is the New Orange. It adds fluorescent pink to the list of colors for high visibility in hunting. Excited about that. Our PILT bill has been a topic of interest here. It did not pass this year, which is a bummer, but some of the policy pieces of it and certainly the funding attached to it did move forward. So we've got now PILT funded under the current methodology in the treasurer's budget, which gets us a little bit closer to the way DNR does it. So kind of tiptoeing closer to full implementation and full funding for PILT. As Commissioner Thorburn mentioned, the suction dredge mining bill did not pass. That was a surprise to us. We really thought this was the year that it had momentum to move, and it did not go. So we'll be watching that next year. I assume there'll be another run at it. Another one we were watching and really involved in was House Bill 2020. It adjusts our HR policies for the state to protect identities of not just victims, but also anybody that's involved in a sexual harassment investigation. Really a high priority for our diversity advisory group. And so we were active in helping move that forward. Question?
Before we go on the PILT thing, you say the bill failed but funded in the budget along with to move to Treasurer. So this was presented to us the other night, so I'm just double checking because our county is way behind on PILT. We were led to believe that we were going to be funded better. Is that correct?
Yes, so the current methodology allows counties to A, elect either PILT or fees, fines, and forfeitures, and then pick from three different rates, which is really clunky. The best rate is open space, and so long-term, we want to get all of the counties to open space, mm-hmm. and we want them to not have to choose between PILT and fees, fines, and forfeitures. We think they are deserving of both. So that's what the bill itself would have done, but it was $2 million for full implementation. And so we're trying to figure out how to phase it so that the impact on the general fund's a little bit less.
And this is going to get down in the weeds a little bit for you, but with our county, we've been receiving $36,000 to be paid in full. We should be at $54,000. Are we going to, we were told we were going to be at the $54,000 this coming year. Is that true?
I think it's definitely going to be closer to that. We can run the numbers, Morgan and I, and figure out exactly what that county is at.
Okay, because we have some other things going, and yeah, that with one of the commissioners, this was a pretty big bone in his craw. So
yeah.
If this isn't going to happen, I would just as soon tell him ahead of time, so it wouldn't be a good surprise.
Yeah, and one of the reasons we were moving this bill is because the current statute actually calls out each county by line item, and it allows the legislature to kind of pick and choose how much to give each county, mm-hmm. and so they'll end up kind of outside of the calculation method that they've established, which has resulted in the past in some counties getting less than they're supposed to be getting. So we're trying to fix that, and I think this gets us closer.
Commissioner Graybill has a comment or question.
Again, on that same issue, with the move to Treasurer, is that going to occur and when?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it occurred this year. They took it out of our budget, put it in the Treasurer's budget, which is a great start.
Yeah.
What they still need to do is the cleanup of taking all of those statutes out of our statutes and just having it be a line item in the Treasurer's budget moving forward.
Okay, so that's a huge, huge success.
It's a huge success. It's how DNRs are done, and they have no kind of politics involved in getting theirs paid. They're just, the counties are paid. It's a non-issue for them,
terrific.
Which is really...
That's huge.
That's where we want to be.
Much.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to what went well this session. So as Nate mentioned, we did a ton of work before session started, and I think it really paid off. We had really strong partners this year. Our BPAG members had their lobbyists working hard on our budget issue and elevating the issue in a way that it hasn't been elevated in the past. We had folks in the environmental community that we haven't had on our side before. We had our tribal co-managers coming in saying, if you don't fund this agency, we aren't going to have strong co-managers, and we're really worried about that. And so it was really exciting. We had heard from Ledge staffers that they were getting volumes of emails from different groups saying, we care about DFW's budget, make it a priority, which is great. We had a simple, easy bill, simple concept for us to be able to talk through with legislators in meetings that, you know, last 10, 15 minutes. It's got to be concise. So great work, you guys, on helping us get that right this year. We had passionate sponsors. Really, they got our issue, too. They were the right people for the job, and we're hoping to get to work with them in future years on this issue. And we had strong work sessions. Nate did a good job of teeing up some BPAG work sessions early in the legislative session before we even had a bill, just to talk through the budget shortfall. Members got the need, made it easier for them to understand and support the bill. And we also had a couple of additions to our legislative team this year. We had two developmental job assignments that helped add some capacity in our policy shop, which was great. They helped us stay on top of things like updates to the commission, updates to advisory committees, weekly calls with our ORCA partners, our salmon advocates, and BPAG members, which was a huge, huge help. I don't know what we would have done without them. What can we learn from? I think we improved communication vastly, but some of our key sectors, especially the rec fishing community, I think felt like they didn't get enough time with us. And I think back to 2017 when we had the fee bill that year, we were hosting at minimum monthly meetings with them just to talk through to the parallel track of North of Falcon and the legislature and some of the hot topics from both. So we're trying to think about how to do that communication more robust in the future. Timing got us this year. We had North of Falcon, Columbia River policy discussions all kind of on the same track as the legislative session. And so we want to think really hard about those intersections. So we're not sideways with legislators that certainly are watching the work that we're doing in these other policy arenas. And then we want to definitely work more with legislators this interim. Last year was an election year, so we didn't get a whole lot of attention with legislators. They were really on the campaign trail all the way till November, so we want to get with them early. We want to set up not just deep dives into our budget, but also dialogues with them about some of these really gnarly issues, especially the people on polar opposite sides, to try to get them working through their differences of opinion before January. We're working with public affairs to set up some tools that will help us simplify some complex issues like fisheries management. It's just not, it's really, really hard to demystify these issues in a 10-minute meeting with a legislator that's saying, why is my constituent so upset about this Columbia River policy motion? What is the policy, and why are you guys allowing gill nets on the river, right? And so we start down the path, and it's something that we need to think, I think, more about. What tools are going to be helpful? How do we talk about fisheries management? Infographics, PSAs, and other tools that public affairs been using for other things. We're hoping to dig into this interim. We also mobilized the unions a little bit last session. They really want to be helpful. They want some tools that will help describe the situation that staff are in when we're having to go back every 2 years and communicate that their jobs are at risk. So we're going to work with them on that. And then we also had confusion this year around terminology, maintenance level versus maintain, enhancements versus backfilling one-time investments. So we're going to try to get some really clear budget lingo before next year. And with that, I'll turn it over to the budget.
Commissioner Keogh.
Yeah, I just want to comment on the what can we learn from. You know, unfortunately, the North of Falcon season takes place right on top of the legislative session. So unless we change the legislative session dates or the season settings, it's always going to be an issue. And, you know, I don't know how we crack that one, but, you know, people are always going to be disappointed with the outcome, and that's just another reason. You know, I'm sure you've heard a host of reasons why people did not support the fee increase. So, how we get around that one,
Mr. McIsaac?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and let me say this is a very healthy exercise to go through what went well, what didn't go well, what's the lessons learned. I'm glad to see you all thinking thoroughly about that. With regard to the license, matter that came up, and I'm not sure in which of these three agenda items is the right time to talk about it, but there was a fork in the road early about asking for a larger license fee in comparison to asking for just a COLA or COLA authority or something that's close to that, and not try to enable an argument, well, the fishing seasons are going to be less, and so why can we support something more when the fishing season's coming up or less? And this was well before the Spokane-Columbia River vote. And there were people already testifying in front of the legislature against the Columbia River endorsement and against the license fee, and they were using that argument that we kind of knew was coming. And we've got a history now of going back of not making it on our license fee increases. And there's a lot of justification for having more general fund and having general fund carrying a larger load of this. So I don't know if now is the time or if it's under the next agenda item or the one after that to when do we get to a decision about, you know, what do we do about that? Are there alternatives to look that you guys can look at more now so when August comes around we can make a decision or have you thought about that?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner McIsaac, that's exactly the kind of question we want to have in dialogue with you all this afternoon. So we're thinking probably after the third agenda item when we're talking about the supplemental budget and we have a strategy conversation about what color of money would be a great time to look at what do we do with a fee bill.
Excuse me, Commissioner Thorburn.
How can we help during this interim period in particular? I know very well a couple of really key decision-making legislators who aren't real engaged in these issues. And, you know, any way I can be helpful in trying to raise their level of awareness, I'd be happy to help out during the interim.
I think that would be super helpful. The relationships that you all have with legislators are really, really powerful. They help open doors. In your case, I know we've got a couple of those members really interested this year in coming out and doing an orca patrol, so maybe having you come and join us for that. Yeah. We'll have them captive audience on a boat for a whole day to be able to dig into our budget.
Great.
Do a deep dive.
Don't let them off the boat. It's the end of the day until they say yes.
All right.
Commissioner Baker?
I believe that kind of outreach from us is imperative. I think, but my point is that I believe that it needs to be part of a bit of a larger strategy where somebody, and I don't know if it's Nate or Raquel, somebody, maybe Morgan, looks at between now and session who needs to be talked to, possibly when, and who needs to do the talking. And also that I think it's important if the eight or maybe nine of us start talking to legislators that we possibly have a packet. And it's a little early for a packet because we haven't exactly authorized anything yet. But I think we should be working off of common material because there's no telling what the we would each come up with if left to our own devices. So that's my...
Nate, if I might respond, we are a little bit behind schedule, so I think going through these next two items and then getting into that discussion and review part of what you commented on, I think is appropriate.
Great. Chairman, commissioners. So this says news. It might not be news. We did not get whole. We did not get completely fixed. So I've got a little bit of bad news. We did not get a fee bill. We do have, at least for the first fiscal year, we have most of the funding that we might need to carry on our stuff. But generally, a lot of the plug that we have is one time, right? So we've got risk. Definitely after this biennium for a lot of the packages that we have, and we'll take a look at those in a second. And then, unfortunately, we've got a lot of risk even after this first fiscal year. So the good news is that right now, we now have more state general fund than any other natural resource agency. So I tried to include a couple of good items in this otherwise kind of dour piece here. We've got the new orca work that is funded. Some of that's one time. Some of the hatchery production is ongoing. We have a pretty dang good capital budget, so that'll help repair a lot of our hatcheries and wildlife areas and other stuff and keep those things up and running. And we've got sources from other agencies through WWRP and RCO, and I don't know, there's some bright spots in our budget as well. We're going to need to continue to work towards a permanent funding fix for many millions of dollars on a lot of our items. We have I think that we have kind of three risks for our maintained buyback packages. We ended up with COLAs and cost increases and fund splits that ended up making us not whole for that first fiscal year. So even if you think about, okay, if there's like this $31 million problem statement across the biennium, and half of that is the $15.5 million, we kind of got sort of $15.5 million in that first piece. Unfortunately, we've got other costs that are added to the state wildlife account. And those seemed like a perfectly reasonable idea when the governor was putting together his budget, because they assumed that we would pass a fee bill. And so in those cases, they made sense because there would be revenue to back those. And unfortunately, we didn't get that fee bill. And those splits and those COLAs and how they were done maintained as part of that expenditure authority. So that's adding risk to us and making us not whole even in that first fiscal year.
What exactly do you mean by fund splits?
So we might ask for a particular package or like a maintenance level item or a carry forward level item in and we might say, oh, it would be really great to get this in general fund state. And the governor's budget might say, you can have that, but you need to do 25% of it in federal and 25% of it local and 25% of it in wildlife state. And so that's all. Good question. This table you might have seen before, it's attempting to kind of outline our problem statement beyond what we have here. So we already have the structural deficit pieces and the Columbia River Salmon and Steelhead endorsement. If you kind of cobble those together, you get to about that $31 million problem statement across the biennium. We have a bunch of one-time items that we had found money to fund on a temporary basis and put in as enhancements that did not get funding. And we've got, the cost of living increases and more DES bills and other items that we don't have a lot of control over that were handed to us as costs by the legislature. We have an efficiency cut on this table. I believe that was vetoed very recently by the governor, so we should see that, and that'll change the math on this table slightly. We've got an ongoing downturn in our federal dollars around our Pittman-Robertson dollars and our Dingell-Johnson Act dollars. This is a projection trying to indicate the risk that we have around our cash balance in the state wildlife account. That $1.8 million that you see, that was the cash balance. That was all the money that there was in our state wildlife account on March close, right? So just a few weeks ago. Now, that's pretty dire, but of course, April and May and June is when we bring in a lot of our revenue, and so you can see that spike up. But that trend will continue, and we're going to be burning state wildlife account dollars very, very quickly in the first fiscal year, trying to keep everything running that we have right now. And so there's a desire to send a message to OFM explaining that, hey, we might need just a little bit of a loan, a little payday loan, as we dip below $0 in cash balance in March of 2020. That's a possibility, and that's what this projection shows. There's things we can do to our funding pattern, our spending pattern, that might keep us out of there, but that's one of the risks that we're kind of seeing, right? We've got a risk of cuts and the political fallout from that. We've got a risk of going below $0 and how that looks. And then we've got the risk of pushing other items forward into our supplemental budget, and we'll talk about that in a later agenda item.
Question? Is that reflective of just partially licensed decline sales?
We have more Yes. Yeah. It includes a factor of that. Yes. Yes, Commissioner. But I think that the more we have more expenditure authority. We're allowed to spend more. We're told to spend more than the revenue that we're bringing in. That's that structural deficit piece. And so if you have a structural deficit over and over again, then in the same way that if I had an allowance of $100, but I only put $50 into that bank account each year, even if I started out with $500, pretty soon that's going to go below zero. Even though I keep putting $50 in there, I keep spending $100. And that's this structural deficit piece. And so you're seeing the indicators of what happens over time with that.
Mr. McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this is kind of a naive question. On the surface, this graph looks fine on the left side, and going below looks like something we would never want to do. You mentioned getting a loan. So when we go to the negative, and this is projection to go almost down there, 10 million, 8 million, whatever that is, what do we do? Do we actually go get a loan? And if we ask for a loan and they say no, I mean, do we have to put up interest on that money, or how does that work?
I've recently been trying to educate myself about such a scenario. How it works is we would seek authority from OFM and the Treasurer's Office to be able to have a negative cash balance for a temporary period. I don't believe we'd be charged interest on that. And sort of the guarantee would be, hey, we're counting on revenue to bring us back up into the black before the end of the fiscal year. Now, it gets pretty catastrophic the fiscal year after that. And so that's why we're counting on the supplemental ask or some other funding situation, some other fix, because we've got a problem there. Is that answering your question, Commissioner?
And what if the answer is no, we're not going to give you the money? What happens then? Or would that ever happen? Is that just not really a question?
Then we have two alternatives. We can we can change some of our spending pattern and try to figure out how to leverage a bunch of other accounts and just skate by for that particular month, or we can make cuts so that we don't drop below that particular period.
Is it a reality that it might be a no, or is that such a long shot we shouldn't worry about it?
We haven't asked yet. And this is a projection, and so part of what that letter will entail is some work on my part and our part, making sure that that OFM understands all the math and believes our story, right? So this is an estimate, this is a possibility, and they'll want to see proof of that. But I think that if we were able to prove that, I think that it's likely that they would allow it. I've seen scenarios where we've seen that before, Commissioner.
Honestly, not too concerned about that. I'm concerned about having to do it, but I'm not concerned that we would get a no. It's a matter of writing OFM a letter saying it looks like our cash balance is going to go below zero. You get an intimate meeting with OFM at that point, and you can describe our annual sales and that we will correct, so we can pretty easily demonstrate the correction initially. But then you get into the even more intimate conversation about, okay, this time, what are you doing to keep us from here next time? So that's when it gets tough. And hopefully that'll be when we say, well, we just passed our new budget and we're all good.
This slide right here is attempting to show another bright part. We have received in that bottom right-hand corner, that big red block, that is more general fund state than we've almost ever received in any of our prior asks. So we didn't get a fee bill. We are not fixed, but that shows an immense amount of credibility for the work that you guys are doing and that we're doing with our budget policy advisor group and the messages that we're sending across the street. People want to not see our department fail, so that's great. And we'll talk about a possible invitation by the legislature in the next agenda item.
Mr. Thorburn.
I'm probably throwing cold water on this, but it is one time, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is, Commissioner.
Yeah.
That's right, Chairman.
Sorry.
Yeah. So I have a brief thing of what we did get, and I'll try to move through these slides pretty quickly. Go ahead and stop me if you have questions. Thank you. Here is where we requested $31 million. We got that $24,150,000 one time. And those are those at-risk packages that we've seen so many times and we'll see again, right? Maintain public health and safety for shellfish, wildlife conflict response, maintain fishing and hatchery production, maintain land management, maintain hunting, maintain conservation, maintain customer service. Those are activities that we're doing now. There's a staff who work for our department now. And we have a solution to keep everybody employed and working on what they're working on, for the most part, through the fiscal year. And it's at that fiscal year piece that we're trying to figure out how to solve that ongoing. We have new ORCA dollars, both for hatcheries. We're going to pass through a large amount of money to the tribes and PUDs. And then we also got the prey work group money. This is all one-time dollars. But we're going to try to deliver a number of the ORCA task force recommendations. This does not include dollars for the pinniped piece or I'm trying to remember any of the other ones that were actually in the governor's budget. I think that's it. Oh, you know what? I've got one on here. That's right. It doesn't include the ORCA Task Force facilitation and then the Snake River Dam piece that we were in the governor's budget going to pass through to the governor's office. They just put that in the governor's budget. Our enhancements, the only enhancements that we received was received as a very small portion of enhanced conservation and a pretty decent dose of money for the enhanced RFEGs piece. In addition to the $700,000 of GFS and some authority for one of their accounts, they also have, not on the slide, $641,000 of, I think, RCO's capital budget to do pre-design work and other work. So for budget balancing decisions, what we've looked at is eliminating our after-hours customer service licensing call center contract. Right now, when you call, we've got an outsourced solution where you can, you know, get help with your login, now if you call after 5 p.m., unfortunately, you won't have that opportunity anymore. We'll be like other state agencies that mostly work from 8 to 5, and that's when you call in. So maybe I'll just... Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks, Morgan. So yesterday at the Fish Committee, we had a chance to follow up with some of the conversation that the commission had on your May 31st conference call, and there was some concerns expressed about one of the budget balancing decisions was to reduce funding for Puget Sound salmon monitoring as well as the Skagit catch and release fishery. And with the Fish Committee, we had proposed, and you'll see this in the one of the next agenda items, is that we're going to actually ask for that money in the first fiscal year of the 2020 supplemental. So that will be money that we're essentially spending right now to deal with those fisheries, or spending next winter for the Skagit catch and release, and then asking for funding to make us whole. So.
Additionally, we're going to attempt a vacancy savings opportunity of 4%. That's usually double about what we're trying to look for. That means we're going to be holding positions open as folks are promoted or they become vacant or retire. So that's going to be work that's going to be delayed or having trouble getting done. We're going to let managers try to figure out how to come up with those savings and make it through our first fiscal year. We're going to reduce some of the fisheries on the Columbia River due to the expiration of the Columbia River Salmon and Steelhead endorsement. What are funded are main stem fisheries, the Spring Chinook Yakima River fishery, Upper Columbia hatchery broodstock programs. Unfunded are some tributary fisheries and a bunch of the variety of research projects and some of the enforcement that goes along on the Columbia River there. I believe Chief is going to attempt to make sure that there's still sufficient enforcement there, but they'll be moving effort. Mm-hmm. Here's this one again. Just as a reminder. And then here's sort of a table trying to lay out how we get to the solution part of the problem statement that we saw earlier and trying to put numbers to some of these solutions. So we've got a bunch of cuts in services, and then we have new salmon production dollars trying to backfill some of that Mitchell Act piece. And then you can see, and that's the second part of where it says fiscal year 2021, you see that $13 million piece. That is us putting forward a very, very large supplemental request, and we'll get an agenda item on that coming up here that's trying to make us whole in the second fiscal year. Mm-hmm. That $13.5 million is additional to some of the other items that you'll see in our later agenda items. So again, we aren't whole in the first fiscal year. We've pushed risk into the second fiscal year, and this is terrifying. But you know, I've been trying to talk to staff who are scared or worried, and you know, $31 million is a lot. But you know, we're a fairly large agency. This is less than 10% of our work, and so it's, I don't know, we're gonna be continuing to do a lot of the work that we have going forward, regardless of the outcome. In this supplemental session or the session after that. So I don't know. Again, trying to give that mixed bright spot message on that stuff in case everybody's depressed now. Thank you.
Well done.
Next one?
Yeah, let's go to that.
I don't see any questions. I guess you did a wrap up on that, Morgan. So we'll